Bibles, please turn with us to the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 14, please. We're going to read down through verse 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it upon a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let us pray. Father, again, thanking you today for the precious Bible, the Word of God. I thank you so much, Lord, that we can stand upon your word knowing it is true, that it is absolute truth. And I thank you so much for it. And Father, again this morning, we ask your blessings upon this time together around God's word. This preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom. Lord, I need the clarity of mind and thought and speech. God, help me today to do what you've appointed me to do. And then, Lord, that the word of God would go forth and there'd be receptive hearts. Lord, we trust that there'll be a quiet spirit that'll just listen and hear the word of God and allow you to deal and to work in every heart here. And Lord, when it's all said and done, we're just going to thank you for it and praise your name and your good for your goodness and kindness and all that you do for us. Thank you once again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We moved out in the country about 6 years ago, and we was on electricity out there, of course. They had taken it out that far. Well, I didn't have it when I was a boy, and I'm always grateful when I move somewhere and it's got electricity. But anyway, usually whenever the you'd hear that first thing of thunder roll, you just got ready. Brother Dave Liffick knows, he's out in that area too. And you just got ready when you heard that first lightning and thunder, you might as well get the lamps out.
That's right.
Amen. And that's the way it was for a while until Jerry got on them, and I think he's the one that finally helped us on that a little bit. I don't know really what he threatened to do. But I do know he talked to them, and it must have worked. And but anyway, you hear that, and you know the electricity goes off, and if it's in the daytime, you don't think a whole lot about it. You know, it's light outside, and you just go on, and unless it's real cold, and then you begin to think a little bit about it. As one lady told Donna and I one day, said, "Oh, she, the electricity went off," and she said, "Oh my, I don't know what we're going to do." But she wasn't too worried about it, thought it'd be back on. Pretty soon, it went into hours, and she said, "Well, I've got to do something here. It's getting cold," and so she went and got it all fixed up. She said, "It's just a good time for me to read." And I think she lit a candle or a lamp or whatever it was and set it beside. Said, "I'm just going to read," and she said, "I know what I'll do. I'll get my electric blanket out." And she literally went and got her electric blanket, covered herself up with it, plugged it in, and said, "Oh, this is not going to work." But anyway, you know, it's you don't think too much about it till it gets dark. And then it's dark, and you don't know what to do, and you can't see anything. You're bumping into each other. And, of course, Donna and I, we've got these little kerosene lamps that we use, and I suppose you may have some of those too, or candles or something, and we get the matches out and the kerosene lights and light them up and get ready and get a little light on this subject. Amen. You know, darkness is hard to deal with. It's hard to work in. I think that's probably why it was the very first thing that God brought into being was light. Let there be light. And there was light. That's what he said first of all. It'd be pretty hard for us, if you think about it, to deal without light. I mean, things won't grow and you can't see what you're doing unless you've got some artificial light somewhere. But God said in his word, "Ye are the light of the world." This old world is full of darkness. It's full of spiritual darkness. Now, if you look outside right now and you look around and you say, well, it seems light to me out there, and you can see what you're doing, where you're going, and the whole thing. But spiritually, we've got to understand something. God says ye are the light of the world. He's telling us that this world is in darkness. Now, we've got to get an understanding of that, because we just go day by day thinking, you know, everything's okay because the sun's shining and we've got these kind of lights here and we can see. But the world is in spiritual darkness. And God says that we are the light of the world. In Matthew there, the 4th chapter, the 16th verse, he said, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the regions and shadows of death, light is sprung up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The reason that light sprung up was because Jesus came on the scene. He is the light of the world, and his message was to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. And so he's the light. Over in Luke, I want you to turn over there with me, over in Luke, the 1st chapter of the book of Luke. Listen as I start reading at verse number 76 of the 1st chapter of the book of Luke. He says, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. What for? To give light to them that sat in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the ways of peace. This was Jesus who came to give light to this world. Now Jesus is in heaven today, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is saying unto us, we are the light of the world. He's talking to us. He's talking to us Christians. And if you notice, and you don't have to turn over there, but in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, let me read you verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, he says, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He said, that's what we used to be before we got saved. We were darkness. See, anybody that isn't saved may not understand that principle because they've never not been taught. They don't understand it, but they are in spiritual darkness. And he said, the only light is the Lord, and we're supposed to walk in that light. Why? Because he said we're the light of the world, you see. Now, we have the world today boasting about how it's such an enlightened world that we have nowadays. And let me just spend a little time on this, because scientifically, we're supposed to be such an enlightened world. We have some of the greatest technology that there's ever been in the United States of America. And the world looks at that as an enlightened world. Don't understand that it's just getting darker all the time. What they don't understand it is that the medical technology that we have nowadays is tremendous. They can do things, and we are amazed when someone goes into an operating room and they open up and they put their heart out on their chest and begin to work on it. We're amazed at that. Some of the folk right here in this church has had that happen to them. It's an amazing thing. It really is. It's a great technology, and we are just learning more and more and more and more all about that. But let me tell you something, folks. That's not the light of the world. I think it is a wonderful thing. All of us kind of like the idea of living a little longer. For some reason, we want to do that, and I think that's good, and I think that's fine, and I'm glad for some of the technology that they have, but they are spending billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars on helping people to live longer instead of spending that money on how to live eternally. There isn't hardly any money being spent by our country and our government to let people find out the real light of the world. And I just say to you folks, I really am. I'm appalled a lot of times at the amount of money that goes into these technology just to make people live longer physically when they're going to die for eternity. No, take it. I'm not trying to be unkind. Drugs. You hear it all the time of the amount of drugs that some people have to take to live. It's amazing. It's taking sometimes half of our senior citizens' paychecks, sometimes more than that. Now, Brother Ross, are you against those things? I'm not against them. I just want you to understand something. Folks, they could live to 100, and if they're not saved, they're going to die forever. The important thing is not how many years you're going to live physically, but are you going to live forever? That's the real important thing. And I'm not against all the technology and all these things that's going on. I hope you understand that. But what I'm just simply saying to you, we better get the money put in the right place to help people know how to live forever, to get eternal life. You know, you say you want to live. These young people here, I know, no doubt in my mind, they want to live a good long life, and I hope every one of them does. But it's not near as important as are you going to live eternally? Are you born again? Are you God's child? That's more important than all of the other. No matter how long you live, be 100, 120, won't make a difference if you're lost without Christ. Amen. So the Bible simply tells us, and I believe something, I believe that Jesus, of course, is the true light. He's the only light that can come so people can live for eternity. I believe that this is an evil age that we live in, and I believe that all ages have been evil because the heart is desperately wicked. I think the evilness is coming out more today than it did in past years, but every age has been evil. And what's needed, and when I say it's been evil, it's been dark. It's darkness. And it needs the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that will ever help it. Notice also in verse number 14, he said, ye. I'm just going to stop there for a minute. He said, ye are the light of the world. The word ye there simply means you, or it means me. Amen. Martin Lloyd Jones said this. He said, this is the way you really ought to read that verse of scripture. Ye and ye alone are the light of the world. And what he was simply saying is, there is no other light. Ye are the light of the world. Every Christian is the light of the world. There isn't any other light. We're it. No matter how poor it is, we're it. Amen. You see, it's not the politicians that's bringing light to this world. It's not the millionaires or Hollywood that's bringing light to this world. It's Christians that's bringing light to this world, to a dark world. What I just named is a part of the darkness most of the time. And light needs to be brought forth. And the Christian is the only one that can bring that light forth. Why? Because Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. The very ones that can bring the light to this dark world are the ones that the world looks down on, despises, looks down on, calls us names, and tries to do its best to ridicule us. And we're the only ones that can bring the light that they need. I want you to go over with me to the book of John, the 3rd chapter, please, for just a few moments. Third chapter, John, in verse number, of course, 16 is that wonderful verse of scripture, but let's listen to it. 3rd chapter of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To believe upon Christ, you're not condemned no longer. To believe upon Christ. He says, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The reason people are condemned, because they will not believe upon Christ. That's simple teaching, simple preaching. Look at verse number 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You see what God said there? Light came into the world. Jesus came into the world. But he said men didn't love the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. The light shines and manifests what's in the darkness. And he said, men don't like that. And he says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, God is simply telling us and explaining to us that there's darkness out there, and we are the light, but folks, you're not going to be loved for it. People are not going to fall down at your feet for it. People's not going to be probably begging for it, because if their deeds are evil, they don't want to change the way they're living. So they hate the light. Why? Because the light manifests what's in the darkness, and it manifests their evil deeds. That's honestly, a lot of times people don't like preaching of the Word of God. They don't want to hear the preaching of the Word of God because it manifests what they're doing. They don't want to hear it. See, they hate having it light up what's going on in their life. They don't want to hear it. So what they do usually is run off somewhere. If they stay in church, and sometimes they do, they'll run off somewhere where they don't have to hear that preaching of the Word of God. They'll go somewhere where they won't preach that. So they'll hide somewhere in darkness. See, why? Because they don't like the light. You see, you and I ought to like the light. We ought to love the light of the Word of God. We ought to be willing to set and take it. I mean, let it do whatever needs to be done in our life, you see. It's what we ought to be able to do. Now, you look in going back to that in Matthew, but you find that the source of the light is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn over once again to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to read verse number 8 again. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. You see, the only light is Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. That is the source of light. And the only way that we are become the light is through him living through us. For he is the light. Amen? So, I might just share something with you. It's not because of your smarts. It's not because of your abilities. It's not because of your skills or mine. The light is Jesus. He's the light of the world. It isn't us. The only way we can bring any light to this world is through letting him shine through us. We're going back through Matthew there, the 5th chapter, and in verse number 16, he simply says this: let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How is this light shown forth? The Bible says through our good works. You know, you've got the natural light, which is the sun. You've got the artificial light, like these things are artificial light. But you've got another kind of light, and it's a spiritual light, and it's Christ shining through our lives, you see. It's seen through our Christian character. Christians ought to have good character. Absolutely. Christians ought to have some convictions. You ought to have some convictions. You ought to know what you will do and what you won't do, and that based upon the Bible, the Word of God. See, Christians need to have convictions so the world can see that in our life. I believe the fruit of the Spirit shines through us, shows forth Christ. It'll be there if we're God's child, you see. I believe we're supposed to live a godly life. Amen. I suppose we're supposed to have a holy behavior about us. We're supposed to live in a holy way. Why? Because that's shining forth the light. I believe our minds ought to be cleaned up. When they're not what they ought to be, when we're thinking things we ought not to think, I think we ought to clean them up. Amen. I think we ought to clean this thing up. These mouths need to be cleaned up. Why? Because we're God's children. What right have we to go around telling dirty jokes and speaking in an unsavory way and using words that's ungodly? What right have we even to do that when we call ourselves a child of God? We're supposed to be light that shows forth darkness. Folks, there's people all around us that are in darkness. You've got to understand something. Everybody that's not saved is in darkness. And the only light they're going to have, Jesus says, is us. Shining forth the light of Christ, you see. Well, just ask yourself a question. What kind of light have you been this week? I can do that because I don't know what you've done this week. I only know about me. What kind of light have you been this week? Have you shown forth the light of Christ this week? Have you made a difference in the darkness? Now, God said this world is darkness. Amen? Just simple, simple truth. You said, don't make any difference how I live. It does too. Oh, it does too. Because if you're the light, you've got to shine forth the light in this old dark world. We're the only thing that's there to light up this world. And this world is in darkness. Now, you walk out and see the sun shining and say, boy, it's light out. Boy, isn't it nice out? No, it's in darkness. And we're the only light that there is so it can light up this world. And this old darkness that's there, you see. So we do that through all kinds of things. We do it through our actions and our thoughts and the way we behave and the way we talk to each other, the manners we have, the way we act. All of those things are showing forth the love of God, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is showing forth. I know it's not everything. Then you've got to give them the Word of God. But they're not going to believe the Word of God if you don't live it. I wouldn't. My wife and I lived down from some people who invited us to church over and over and over. Lived on down the road. Nice people. Caleb, honestly, just like I said you was. Nice person. These people were nice people, weren't they, honey? But they had their little parties, and little other things on the way, and it went on in their house. Oh, they said they were saved. Went to church, to a liberal church. But there was a couple lived across from us that lived it. You've met them, I think. Most of you met Jerry Purcell and Ruth Ann Purcell. They lived it on a daily basis. I mean, there wasn't a time, I'm telling you, on Wednesday night, we'd hear this, Jerry, Jimmy, come on home. You know, we used to think, why are you taking them home so early? Kids are having a ball, having a fun. Well, he's going to church. Getting ready to go to church. Go over to their house and their Bible will be out on their table, had it open. Fanatics. Every chance they got, they'd want to talk to us about it. Lived a good life. Well, they weren't perfect people. Didn't expect them to be. But they was real. They was real. And that's why Don and I and all of our children now and all of our grandchildren, as far as I'm concerned, that's where it all started, is back there when they cared enough to live the Christian life. That's where it all started. Amen? I'm just saying to you folks, you've got to be a light for this dark world. This world is darkness. You've got to look at people like Andrew looked at Caleb and said, he's darkness. I don't care how he looks on the outside. He's darkness. Why? Because he's lost. And he's darkness. Amen. The only thing that's going to brighten up his life is going to see Christ through us. And then take him the Word of God. Teach him how to be saved. Amen. Book of Ephesians. Again, you don't have to turn there if you want. I'm going to read one verse. Once you listen to chapter 2, verse number 10, here's what he said. Well, I'll go back, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But listen to this. That's where a lot of times we stop. We want to stop with that verse of Scripture. But God goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Folks, God said he's ordained that we should walk in good works. Why? So, because we're the light of the world. It's dark out there and we're the light of the world. We've got to show forth Christ through our life. Then if you'll notice, over in back in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter and 16th verse, he shows us where we're to shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, I get to thinking about it. I think you probably do too. It's really a privilege to be a child of God. I mean, to have a position as a child of God. That's marvelous. Well, do you know, along with that position comes duty and responsibility? Don't you understand that it's just not a good thing to be a child of God? And it is, it's wonderful, but along comes with that responsibility of being a child of God. We're to show forth the light of Christ to a dark world. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing to be a Sunday school teacher. I think it's a privilege to be a Sunday school teacher. I can't even remember how many years I've taught Sunday school. I mean, I really can't. I don't know how many years I've taught Sunday school. I practiced and taught Sunday school ever since I can remember, ever since I've been preaching. And before that, I taught Sunday school. I don't. But that's a privilege. But do you know something? There's responsibilities that go with that. We can't live like other folk live. We can't live like the world lives. We're different. And you could go on into every position you want to talk about, but let me say to you, we have a responsibility simply because we're God's children. Yes. Amen. Verse number 14, he says in chapter 5 of Matthew, he says, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." I know that that's pretty simple preaching, pretty simple teaching. You all would know that. All you have to do is visualize in your eye. If you've got a city up here sitting on top of a hill and you see it up there, it's pretty hard to hide it. You can't hide it. You know, everybody's going to see it. If you wanted to hide some city, you'd probably get down in some, maybe like Petra somewhere over there, and it's all down into the rocks and everything. It's built into the rocks and you can't even hardly see it from above. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about a city that is set up on a hill. He said that's what we Christians are. We're to be a city set up on a hill, a place where everybody can see it. And everybody does. Amen. He also noticed in verse 15 of that, he says, neither do men light a candle and put it upon a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Talks also about a candle, put a light on a candle, and he's really talking about a lampstand there. If you remember back in the Old Testament, the lampstand was the three-pronged on each side lamp, and it had the one up in the middle like this, and it was fed by oil. Now what God is just simply saying to us, we're a lampstand, and we're fed by the oil of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what should give us light, to light up this old world. And you don't set it and hide it somewhere. What do you do with it? You set it on a lampstand so everybody can see it. See, that's what God's saying. You put a city on a hill, everybody sees it. You put the light up on the lampstand. Why? Because everybody's going to see it. Amen? Why? Because we're the light of the world. See, we've got to let it shine, you see. Now, what's going to stop it from showing? Look at verse 15. And he says, "And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but," he says, on a candlestick, "and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." He said, you don't take a lampstand, you don't take a light and put it underneath a bushel. That's going to hide the light. I mean, this is just simple, plain, practical preaching. Anybody out here knows if I light a flashlight and light it up, turn it on, and I don't put my hand over the end of it. See, that'd be dumb. Look, I couldn't see any light. You understand what God's saying? He said, you don't light a light for the purpose of hiding it. Amen? It's kind of dumb to light a light and then cover it up. What good is that for? Well, that's what God's saying to the Christian. It's kind of dumb to light a light and then cover it up. Amen. That's what he's saying to us. It's like for us, if we light a light and the light has been lit in Christ, and then we try to conceal that light so no one will know that we're a Christian. Foolishness. Downright, truthfully, it's just downright dumb. No use of it. Amen. No, we're to let the light shine, you see. I want to give you three things here. He talks in the book of Matthew, he talks about a bushel, hiding it under a bushel. He talks over into the book of Mark about a bed. You don't put it under a bed. He says in the book of Luke, the 11th chapter, you don't put it in a secret place. You know what can happen? You can get your light so hid in the making of money and the materialism of this world that the light is hid. No one ever sees it. All they see is your business affairs or your jobs or whatever it is you're seeking out for materialism. And God said, you don't want to hide your light under that. And he talks about the bed, and I believe he's also talking about there the leisure time that people have and the pleasures they pursue. You don't take the light and put it under a bed, and a lot of people are lazy and slothful. They do not show forth the light of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes into our life, let me say something to you. We don't sit around and seek out pleasures all of our life, seek out how much leisure time we can have. We get to work for God. And God said there's a lot of people hiding their light under their leisure time, their pleasure seeking. And the secret place, I looked that up, and the word secret basically means a vault or like a cellar that is either completely underground or halfway underground. And here's what I believe he's talking about. I believe he's talking about the secret place is the morals of an individual Christian that a lot of time are so low, they're underground. You can't be a light for Christ and live like the devil. Your morals are so low, people are not going to believe you, not for one moment. Would you believe someone? Put yourself in that shoes. Would you believe someone's out here committing adultery and carrying on and doing all kinds of things? Would you believe that individual if they tried to come up and tell you how wonderful Jesus is? Would you, as a thief, would you believe someone who was a thief that said, I am a Christian? Would you believe that? Of course not. Down in the cellar, down in the vault of life. And God said, you don't hide your light down there. You get it up here on a candlestick where people can see it. Why? Because you're the light of the world. Let me show you something over in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, listen to what he says. Verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Listen, folks, God says, if you'll confess him, folks, that not just with words, that's with a life. You confess him before men. He's not just talking about talking it. He's talking about doing it, walking it. He says, you notice there, he says, will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven? But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Are we to go out here and deny Christ? Is there, you say, well, Brother Ross, I would never deny him. I would never say I don't believe in him. Good for you. I'm glad you wouldn't. But do you deny him in your life? Do you deny him in the life that you live? You're the light of the world. You're the only light that people's going to see. Amen? Over in Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, you know this shining forth of light, you're supposed to do it before men. I go through things. I think every Christian does. I hope every Christian does because I do. I go through sometimes, you know, and I see things happening in my life, and God has such a way of just keeping reminding me that I'm a child of God, and I'm not going to expect the world to love me. This is probably a silly illustration. It's not a good illustration, but God taught me. I was going over to the Union Hospital the other day. I think it was to see Bill Chester's, I remember. Anyway, I was over there. I was walking up the sidewalk, and here come two women down the sidewalk facing me, coming meeting me. And they got closer and closer, and neither one of them was moving over to one side. So I finally stepped over on the grass. They just went by. I stepped back on and went on. And then I said to the Lord, you know, wasn't a big deal, was it? Didn't make any difference. I said, they hung you on a cross. I just had to step off the sidewalk. I said, who cares? I'll step off of it again. God tries us. He just wants you to be a light. I could have made a scene. The natural man kind of wanted to. You ever been there? But I stepped off and I said, Lord, you know, such a little thing. I really did. I said, thank you for teaching me. I even thanked you for those two women walking down that sidewalk. I said, it reminded me I'm not anything. He's everything. Look all he went to, he did. See, it's that old pride in us that don't want to step off the sidewalk. Well, you know what? We've got to be the light to this old world. You understand me? We got to be different. Because we're the light of the world. It's not always safe. It's kind of dangerous to be a light. Listen to what he says in John 3:20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. He says in Proverbs 29, a righteous man is an abomination to the wicked. You're not always going to be loved and appreciated as a light. Sometimes it's dangerous. There's people giving their life today because of their being a light in their country where people won't put up with it. So they kill them. Well, God just tells us to light up the world. Amen. Now you remember, where is it dark? Every lost individual is in darkness. This world is in darkness. If you will just look around and see what's going on in this world, you will have to say it's in darkness. And you got to remember something. We're the only light there is. We're it. We're supposed to expose evil. We're supposed to manifest it. What for? Well, look at the last of verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's all for the purpose of glorifying our Heavenly Father. That's what it's all about, folks. Amen. So we've got to be the light of the world. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Let's do it for His purpose. Just so you won't read on one of these days, I'm going to take just a moment. You read on in chapter 6, and it says opposite of what we've been studying. Listen to me. He says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. I just could see myself finishing that, somebody reading on down and saying, you're supposed to show forth the light before men. And here he says, don't do that. But what he's saying in chapter 6 is, you're not to do it for the purpose of being seen of men. Of glorifying yourself. You see, we go out, we live the Christian life. We do it on a daily basis, and we're to do that because why? We are the light of the world. We're to show forth that Christ is in us. It is right and proper to do it. We're not to do it to glorify us. No glory in us, but in God. So I just wanted to share with you this morning, you're the light. We're the light. We're the light of the world. No matter how dark it is, we're the only light it has. We've got to continue to shine forth. I want to say to you in closing today, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's the light. He's the one that brought true life to this old world. True light. He's the one that lit up the darkness. And if you're not saved here today, You can't say, yes, Brother Ross, I'm God's child. I'm a born-again Christian. There was a time when I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I know if I died today, I would go to heaven. I know that because I've trusted in the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't say that, you need to come this morning and be saved. You need to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, so you can walk out of this place knowing that you're ready for heaven. You need to be ready for heaven. You don't want to take a chance. You don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen to you in the next 5 minutes. Neither do I. But if you're born again, you're ready for heaven. And if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, be a great, wonderful time for you to step forward and come and receive Christ. We'll have people right up here to deal with you, help you, so you'll know how to come to Christ and become a Christian. Amen? It's the right thing to do. You might also say, Pastor, I've not been a very good light. Now, folks, it's just more than talking it. It's just more than being a good guy. You can be a good guy and be in darkness. You can just be a good guy and you're doing it for your benefit so the people brag on you. That's not what it's all about. We're trying to do the good works so that we'll honor God, glorify God, the Father. Amen. Sometimes Christians need to come to an altar and just get along with God and say, I need my life cleaned up. I need to be a better light. Need to do it for the right purpose so I'll glorify my Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, again today I thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your grace. Thank you, Father, that Jesus is the true light. Thank you he left us with that great responsibility to continue carrying that light to the lost world. My prayer is this morning, Father, if there's anyone here that's unsaved, they're not sure of heaven, that they would come and let us take God's word and show them, Lord, how to be saved. Pray, Father, the Holy Spirit of God be allowed to convict hearts of their need of Christ. And then, Lord, for Christians today, I pray that their desire will be to be a good light that will light up the darkness and do their works before men so you would be glorified and honored. So I just pray your will be done. We extend this invitation, but God, we ask you to do the one that works in hearts and deals with our hearts. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.